Welcome back to Crunch Time. It's time for the Crunch Exchange, brought to you by the Josh Cooley team of Keller Williams Realty. Alex presents the prospectus. Steve lets us know if he's buying, selling, or if it's pending. Sell your home worry-free with Josh Cooley, Keller Williams Realty.
Wait a minute, this isn't crunch time.
What happened?
That's the annoying person I invented who's listening who's saying that right now. It is sports talk. That's Nick, apparently, he says. This is not crunch time. This is sports talk, but the final segment means this week, heading to the Crunch Exchange, where I'm going to give Steve some stories from around the world of sports, and he's going to tell us if he's buying or selling the prospectus involved with those stories. Suddenly, little Stevie Tannen's Knicks actually did something to make themselves better, probably.
Sure?
The deal today landed the Knickerbockers with Derrick Rose, Justin Holiday, second-round pick in exchange for Rolo, Jose Calderon, and Jerian Grant. The addition of Rose now essentially gives the Knicks a big three with Rose, Melo, and your boy Zinger. Obviously, the big question and the only big question about Rose is if he'll be able to stay healthy enough to make a big impact. You pointed out on Twitter earlier that Rose only played 166 games in the last five seasons due to injury. However, when he does play, he's one of the best guards in the NBA. 16-5-5 last year for his career, averages 26-4 per game. That's up there with the best in the game. Add to that the fact that despite his many injuries, Rose is still only 27 years old, so he has a couple of contracts worth of time left in the league before he has to hang him up, probably. But again, all of that hinges on his hinges and whether or not they can hold his limbs onto his body well enough to play an entire season. Considering Lopez is the only real piece they gave up in the deal, seems smart on paper, but how good? The prospectus. The Knicks were 12 games back of the playoffs last year with basically just Zinger and Melo. The addition of Rose makes them a playoff team next season in the East.
First of all, saying he's really good when he plays is like saying, if I cut out wine, I wouldn't drink.
Yeah, but he doesn't play.
It's not steeped in reality. Absolutely. First of all, it's the East. Second of all, you need 40, 42 wins to get in. And if he's healthy, he's really good. So assuming he's going to actually do that thing, his job that he's going to earn $21 million for, I think they're a playoff team. Why not? What the hell?
So as long as he doesn't suit
what
up,
the hell, Brian?
As long as he doesn't suit up in a suit, he's good to go. LeBron James had a historically amazing NBA Finals. Obviously, a lot has been made of his triple double in Game 7, but for the entire Finals, LeBron led both teams in points, rebounds, assists, blocks, and steals. That's incredible, guys. And he did it all against the best regular season team in league history, playing against the league's reigning two-time MVP. He also did it with his team on the ropes, carrying them back, along with Kyrie's help a little bit, from a 3-1 deficit, the first team in NBA history to come back from such a deficit to win a title. Obviously, none of his games are being considered as the best ever individual game performances because Magic once scored 42 and had 15 boards. Bill Russell once had 30 points and 40 rebounds in a Game 7. Elgin Baylor once scored 61 with 22 boards in a finals game.
Not bad.
None of his games were in that league. Overall, for the finals, LeBron is the first player to ever lead an entire series in all of those categories, though. The prospectus, LeBron's NBA finals as a whole were the best ever.
Though I think Delly should have been the MVP, I'm going to buy that.
For all that Corona Light he was drinking. This one's sort of a philosophical one about the city of Cleveland. It's long been known as a cursed city of perpetual losers in sports. Joakim Noah doesn't like Cleveland. LeBron James seemed to and turned around the city's fortunes with the title. Before that, though, laundry list of chokes and failures. Football's, you know, the Biner fumble, Tim Couch, Johnny Football, basketball, Jordan over Elo, injuries in last year's finals causing them to lose to the Warriors, baseball, losing 3 in a row to the Red Sox in the 2007 ALCS after being up 3-1, curse of Chief Wahoo, the curse of Rocky Colavito. I have no idea who that is, but I saw it. The 2016 Cavs broke the streak of 52 years without having won a professional championship in the city of Cleveland. None of those failings over those 52 years have gone away with the win this year, but winning generally trumps everything in sports. When the Red Sox finally won in 2004, magically a century's worth of curses and bad moods, juju went away. The prospectus, Cleveland is no longer the loser city we've grown accustomed to thanks to the Cavs' win this year.
The mistake by the lake. Rocky Colavito, by the way, I believe the trade was with the Tigers that cursed Cleveland until the 90s. So they you can't consider them. They just won. So they're no longer the cursed city. I'll buy that.
Steve's just throwing money around in this one. The San Francisco Giants have been rolling right along this year. Most of that has to do with the sheer dominance of Madison Bumgarner and Johnny Cueto. Bumgarner bringing up the rear in that combo with a 9-3 record, but a 1.85 ERA with 110 strikeouts this year. Cueto has just been just as untouchable. 2.08 ERA, 11-1 record, 11 wins tied with Kershaw and Arrieta for the NL lead. That leads to the discussion revolving around who has the best pitching duo in the game. The Dodgers had the best, but lost Greinke to Arizona. Maeda's okay, not even close to touching Kershaw's level. The Nationals have Strasburg and Scherzer. Scherzer's been dominant at times, but sits right now with a 3.29 ERA. The Mets have Syndergaard, obviously injured today, which is a bummer, and DeGrom. Actually, the rookie Mats has a 2.74 ERA. Then we get to the Cubs, who have Arrieta and John Lester. A 1.74, actually, this is coming into today. Arrieta's is probably actually better now. A 1.74 ERA and a 2.06 ERA, respectively. Arrieta 11-1, Lester 9-3, which, by the way, identical to Cueto and Bumgarner, but with ever so slightly better ERAs. Cubs are currently 3 games ahead of the Giants in the standings, so everything is basically the same. Even Arrieta and Bumgarner hit home runs at the plate. So here comes the impossible question. The prospectus, Mad Bum and Cueto are the best pitching duo in baseball right now.
I don't even think it's close. Lester's good. He can't dominate. When Cueto and Bumgarner are on, they're untouchable. They're like Kershaw and Greinke last year. I'm buying it.
Wait, you're buying it? So Mad Bum and Cueto are the best pitchers?
Okay. I actually think I said that on Monday.
Fair enough. Literally today, the NHL approved their league expanding into Vegas for the 2017-2018 season. So they will be the first to dip their sports toe into the debauchery of Sin City, a league that should probably avoid Vegas like the plague because of its history of betting scandals is baseball. But MLB commish Rob Manfred was on Michael Kay's show today, said Vegas is a viable option for a team when the league goes through its next round of expansion, in which Manfred said they'll likely want to extend their international footprint. His point was that there are now casinos all over the place and that he doesn't disqualify it just because of the gambling issue. Beyond the fact that Vegas does have a gambling issue, it is 80th in the country in median income, 42nd largest media market. So it's not exactly the best market in the country to move into, which would lead someone to overlook the obvious issues associated with moving into a city with its issues. Obviously, it wouldn't behoove Manfred to flat out say no when they're not currently taking it seriously, talking seriously about expansion, but he sounded convincing on the show. The prospectus, you buy or sell that Major League Baseball would ever move into Las Vegas?
Wow. I guess it's an easy buy because it might. They've been in smaller markets. I think Manfred with Adam Silver are two commissioners who are not so anal retentive about this whole gambling denial. So it's not a pending because I really believe it, but it's one of the softest buys I've ever had.
Even with all the gambling history with baseball, you think so?
Man, these guys.
It seems like they'd be asking for it.
I mean, how easy would it be to get a bet in if you're a player right now? Between bookies and online, the money they make here. Here's a suitcase full of cash. You gotta, better yet, go to Reno or Laughlin or Vegas or anywhere and put a bet down. I don't think the site has anything to do with it.